What an encouragement that was to my own heart. You just need to know that. But we're proud of you. We're going to be praying for you as you go. You're going to be leaving tomorrow morning, be back in a week. And so you pray for them as they go. Covenant together in your family to do that, okay? For the next few minutes, we want to take just a few moments here and look at some things in the Word of God and talk again about prayer. And so if you would, turn with me first to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, we're going to read a verse here. And while you're turning there, let me review for you what we've seen so far. We began to think about prayer and we considered the fact that God gives us dominion over certain things that we're responsible for. Dominion means a kingdom. It means responsibility, authority. And God places us in authority over certain aspects of His kingdom. He holds us responsible to do certain things. Now, God gives us what we need to fulfill our dominion. In other words, as we have fellowship with Him, we work with Him, He gives us dominion over things. Then when we need things to fulfill that dominion or to carry out our responsibilities that we've accepted, He gives us what we need and we ask for it in prayer. There's a difference between the kind of conversation that we have with God and fellowship with Him and the kind of praying that we do when we ask for things to do the jobs that He's given to us. Now, a lot of people think that prayer is simply asking for things. Other people think that prayer is simply worshiping God. Prayer involves a lot of different things. It's that initial fellowship. It's also the asking for things later to do what God has told you to do. A lot of times people get the idea that they can pray for whatever they want without being in fellowship with God or not working for God. God will give you anything that you need to do the thing that He has given you to do. Mark that down. God will meet every need that you have to obey Him. But God won't always give you everything that you want if you're not in fellowship with Him, you see. And so we'll see some things about that a little bit later on. But last week we learned an important principle that will help us in our prayer life, and that is that God never changes. God never changes. He's provided salvation for us. It's always been available the same way. It always will be available the same way until Jesus comes back. Salvation never changes. God is a prayer-hearing and answering God. His response to prayer is always the same. And there are some promises in the Bible that never change because God never changes. And the thing I want you to concentrate on tonight is the atheism of prayerlessness. The atheism of prayerlessness. Now, what do we mean by that? We mean that we don't pray for one reason. And that's because we don't believe in prayer. And we need to learn to believe in prayer. And the way we learn to believe in it is by reading what the Bible has to say about it and believing it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And when we consider what the Word of God teaches about prayer and believe it, that will change our unbelief into belief, you see, or our lack of faith into faith. And atheism is basically being against God or not believing in God or denying what God says or denying what God is. And there is a very real sense in which failure to pray and atheism are the same thing. They say, well, I'm a saved person. I couldn't be an atheist. Well, in a sense, our lack of prayer is practical atheism. It is as though we were atheists, agnostics, unbelievers when it comes to this matter of prayer. In James chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Now, that simple phrase right there, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you, is a promise that you and I need to realize. Now, do you believe that statement? That if you draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. That verse tells us that if we draw nigh to God in prayer, if we submit our hearts to Him, if we draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. In other words, God is waiting for man to pray. And when man prays, God hears and responds to that prayer. That is what the Bible teaches. I want you to look at some other verses with me this evening. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, you can mark these down. If you have a pen, you want to underline them or something like that. Sometimes what I like to do is if you start there at James 4:8, then write the next reference beside it, 2 Corinthians 1:20. And then when you get to that one, write the next reference next to it. And it'll take you through a little chain like that. That's how reference Bibles have been developed over the years. Excuse me, I'm in the wrong place here. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. In other words, God has made certain promises to us, and all of His promises are not maybe or yes, yes and no. They're all yes. All of God's promises have a yes answer. When you claim God's promises and you say, now God, you said you'd do a certain thing, will you do that for me? This verse tells us his answer is yes. If you claim a promise of God, and if it's a conditional promise, if you meet the conditions, God will answer that promise with a yes answer. It's not a yes and no, it's a yes. It's not a maybe, it's not a, well, you know, hold out faithful, it's yes. Now that verse says all of the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen. The word amen means so be it, let it be that way, I'm glad it's that way, unto the glory of God. How? By us. In other words, when God answers prayer, that brings glory to God, and it brings glory to God through us. I asked my son Daniel tonight if he wanted to give his testimony, and I asked him if he could. Daniel, are you still here? Where are you? I don't see you, buddy. There he is. Can I share the testimony about your bike? Huh? Shake your head. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. You want me to, don't you? Okay. We were praying about a bike for Daniel. Mr. Johnson had gotten him a little bike at a yard sale or something. It was just a real little thing, and it was, rideable, but it was also a bit worn, and he enjoyed it and got out and learned to ride his bike on it. And I just rejoiced at how Mr. Johnson had been so thoughtful for him. You know, he knows that little boys need bikes, and his boys have them, and so he said, you know, Daniel needs a bike. And so he got him this little bike, and Daniel got out there and taught himself to ride that bike. Well, then he was praying, you know, Lord, I'd like to have one that, you know, it's a little fancier and, you know, a little bit stronger and inflated tires instead of the solid tires and things like that. And so he was praying for a bike. And one day he and his mom came home and they had passed by the Goodwill down here. He said, Dad, he said, there's a bike down at Goodwill. Can we go down and check it out? I said, well, son, I have no money for a bike now. Yeah, don't you understand that? Yeah, let's just go see how much it is, though. And I said, okay, all right, you know, you're a real salesman. So we went down there. I said, we'll go down and look at it and we'll pray if that's what the Lord wants. We'll just have to trust Him in it. Well, we got down there to Goodwill and the bike was a real nice little bike, but it was sold. Had a sold sign on it. So he was disappointed. And Daniel prayed and we got in the car. He said, now, Lord, if this is the bike you want me to have, then I'll be really happy. And if you don't want me to have that one, then I know you'll help me to be content with the one I have. I thought, that's a good prayer. That's scriptural. And so we went down there and he said, well, I guess the Lord doesn't want me to have one. And I said, well, I think the Lord would be pleased to let you have one. He knows you're trusting Him. He knows you're looking to Him for it, and we all are. And I said, you know, I got an idea. I thought about Brooks Key and Bicycle Shop down here. I said, maybe they have some used bikes down there. Let's go down and see if they have some. So we got down there, and they don't sell used bikes. He just repairs them. But while we got there, he said, hey, why don't you go up to Earl's Hardware? I said, well, yeah. He said, Earl sells used bikes. Okay, we'll go check it out. So we went up to Earl's, and we got there, and he only had one used bike there. And it was a little, what was that, about a 10-inch bike, I guess? Just, you know, a little boy's BMX bike. And it didn't have a lot of bells and whistles on it, but it was very, very sturdy. It was made by Raleigh, which is a very nice quality bike. And had real nice features on it, and everything was in good shape mechanically. And it had a price tag, $49.95. And so he looked at it, and he was grinning. And Mr. Earl, I guess is his name, I don't know. He, whatever his last name, Earl, said, why don't you take it out there and ride it around? Daniel's face is lit up, you know. Really? You know, yeah, sure. So he took it out and rode it around a little bit. And, oh, Dad, can we get it? And I said, well, I told you, son, I don't have any money. I said, well, we'll pray. And the Lord works something out. So we prayed again. Lord, now you just give us, you know, guidance. Help us to know what you want us to do. While we were praying, a thought came to my mind. I think the Holy Spirit impresses us this way. And so the Holy Spirit touched me, and I realized that Debbie had a bike. It was an old 10-speed Murray bike that she hadn't ridden for 2-3 years, probably at least. You know, she's into four-wheel vehicles now, you know. And we're not talking RVs either. But at any rate, so she thought, well, I'm not going to use that bike. So I thought, well, we'll just check it out. So we talked to Debbie and says, you know, how would you like to maybe do a little horse trading there with your bike? And, oh, that's fine. I'm not going to use it anymore. And that's what you want to do. So we got the bike, put it in the trunk, and took it up there to Earl's. And we talked to him about it for a little while. He traded us even. No money. Brought that bike home. Daniel's been on it ever since. Except when he's in the bed. Okay? And he's just been rejoicing and having a ball with it. Now, that's an answer to prayer. God is pleased to do things like that. Daniel trusted Him. I trusted Him. We prayed and we asked God to provide it. I knew he wanted a bike. I knew that God would be thrilled to give that bike to that boy. Why? Because Daniel loves the Lord. And Daniel's faithful to witness and pray and speak up for the Lord. And, you know, he's serving God with his life. And he has something here that he needs that would be a blessing to him. And so he asked God for it. God gave it to him. Free. You see? And Debbie got a blessing out of it too, you know, by being able to share in the thing. Now that's what we're talking about here. God wants to answer our prayers. He is waiting to draw nigh to us when we'll draw nigh to Him. Now don't you suppose the Lord's been enjoying this last few days? Watching that little fellow ride around on that bike. I know He has. Listen, I know what a blessing it's been to me to see him going up and down on that bicycle. And you know, God loves him more than I love him. And I can't imagine that, you see, because I love him so much. But I know that God loves him, and God wants to be a blessing to him. I do too. And so we're just rejoicing at the way God does things. Now that's, the Lord wants to do these things for us. God wants to answer our prayers. He wants us to pray. And we don't pray because we don't believe that a sinner, a worm, here we are down here on this earth, crawling around like a worm, you know, and we have, you know, you think about how we would look if we were God out in heaven, looking down here at this earth, you know, you get out in space and look down at the earth, you can't even see the buildings, can't even see the cities, let alone the people. But God knows us personally, individually, and He hears our prayers and answers those prayers. And sometimes we get to thinking, well, God is up in heaven and He's way off and He doesn't hear me and He doesn't care about me and He's not going to listen to my prayer. And there's so many millions of people in the world anyway. How does He hear all of them at the same time? We just don't believe it. If we believed it, we'd do it. The reason we don't believe it is because we examine our own prayerlessness and the seeming refusal of God to answer our prayers, which really isn't true, although it seems that way, instead of examining the Word. Whenever our faith is weak, what we need to do is not examine the weakness of our faith, but examine the book. Because that's where faith comes from. And if we'll get into these verses and think about this, look, all of the promises of God in Him are yea. He wants to answer our prayers. Now, there are a number of other things in the Bible that tell us that God hears and answers our prayers. I was thinking about this one again tonight. I told you before, someone had given us a beautiful plaque with this verse on it. It hangs in our living room. And in Jeremiah 33:3, there's a tremendous verse right here. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You see, we want to wait until we know everything before we do anything. But God says, if you call on me, I will show you great and mighty things which you don't even know. You haven't seen nothing yet, is what that says. I mean, if you could get an idea of what God could do for you. If you just had an idea, I firmly believe that God's going to give us the land that we need. Now, I believe we're all going to have to make the sacrifices that He wants us to make. I think we're going to have to give and work hard. And if God gives us some money that we ought to give to the building fund and we use it for something else, it's going to take us a lot longer to get that land than it would if we would obey God. But I believe that God would be pleased and honored for us to have the land and to build the buildings that we need to build in order to have the ministries that we need to have. Have we been faithful with the buildings that we have now? I was over here at this barber shop the other day, and I was talking with Mr. Oney over here, and he said, "Preacher," he said, I just, "it's just unbelievable what you folks have done over there." He said, "All of us talk about it." He said, "It's just really, really amazing." And I said, "Well, the Lord gets the glory," and He does. What a testimony! Hey, I think we've been a pretty good steward of what we've got, don't you? And, you know, I've been talking with Mark Batory, the pastor of the Spanish church recently. They're getting really excited about the metal building over there. They're developing some ideas of some things they would like to do to make it more useful for the school. And then would also make it look better for them so that when we're all finished and we move, they can establish their church there. You know, we've often prayed what we're going to do with Hammett Street. And how are we going to, you know, have a good testimony there after we're gone? And what would we do? We don't want to sell it to somebody who's going to put a, you know, some kind of convenience store or, you know, junk shop or, you know, repair shop or something like that in there. And the neighbors don't want us to do that either. Wouldn't it be wonderful if when we leave, the Spanish church could just take that right over and let that be their church, which it already is, and have a testimony there? They're getting excited about that. That building's 20 years old now. I'll guarantee you that God has been honored through the use of that building and what's going on there in that school now. If we're faithful with what we've got, He'll make us master over much. So if we'll just be obedient and be patient and trust God and pray, God will give us what we need for the future. Now let me ask you a question. Are you praying that God will give us that 36 acres of land on Wesley Road? Or are you just saying, well, you know, go ahead, God, do whatever you're going to do? That's not prayer. We need to be earnestly asking God to let us have that land. We need to ask God to let us have it in time to be able to move to it and be able to use it for His glory. We need to ask Him for the money to build the buildings. We need to pray and ask God to do that. And sometimes we have this old attitude. There was a song, you know, when I was a boy, I don't know if they still play it or not, but all the popular singers used to sing this old dumb song. It was a French, I guess, I don't know. Que sera, sera was the name of it. Remember that? Whatever will be, will be. That's the way a lot of Christian people are. Whatever's going to happen, it's going to happen. That's fatalism. That's not even good Calvinism, you see, because it has such little faith to it. Whatever God's going to do, He's just going to do. No, God tells us if we'll draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to us. He says, call upon me, or call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We don't want to wait and sit back and do nothing until God shows us everything. He says, you call on me, and I'll show you some things that you don't know. Say, well, where are we going to get the money for this land? I don't know. But it says right here, we'll call unto Him. He'll show us. Now, that's a promise. We need to claim that promise. Psalm 91. Turn there for just a moment. I love this psalm. Psalm 91, verse 15, the first part of that verse. Psalm 91, 15. First part of the verse. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and will deliver him and honor him. He's talking about a man here who's persecuted and so on. But look at the first part of that 15th verse. He shall call upon me and what? What does it say God will do when this fellow calls on him? He'll answer him. Right. What do you do when your phone rings? After you groan, you know, if it's late at night. You answer it. Hello? Who is it? I mean, that's what you're waiting to see. What do you have to say to me? Now, God doesn't have a telephone up in heaven. He doesn't need a telephone. But He responds to us to say, well, you respond to your telephone. When we call, He answers. Hello, this is God. Now, I'm not trying to be trite. I'm just telling you, folks, that's the way it is. Lord, it's me. Remember in the film Twice Given? God, it's Tom. That's where that man prays. I'll tell you, if you want to know about prayer, you ought to hang around that fellow for a while. There's a man that knows how to pray and get things from God and get power from God. Boy, that message he preached on prayer when he was here for the fellowship back in April. If you want your heart stirred, you get the tape of that message and you just listen to it a half a dozen times. It'll help you realize that most of us don't have a prayer life. What a tremendous message that was. Turn to Psalm 72 while you're there in Psalms. And let's look at that. Psalm 72, first part of verse 12. Psalm 72, verse 12. For he shall deliver the needy. Period. Is that what it says? Condition. Three words. What does it say? When he crieth. Let's read that together. For he shall deliver the needy. When he crieth. When does God deliver the needy? When he crieth. Hey, needy folks in here besides me? Anybody here need anything? You need anything? All you folks that don't need anything, look at those of us who do. Okay? All right. Listen. Sure, everybody in here needs something. What do you need? Heard about a fellow that got hurt today. Needs for God to help him. Needs for God to heal him. Here's a little boy that got his elbow cut bad. He needs God, doesn't he? Man called me today and said his head gaskets were blown. What does he need? Needs a set of head gaskets at least. May need a car, okay? May need an engine, okay? Needs some transportation in the meantime. You see, he has a need, doesn't he? What do you need tonight? Huh? What are some of your needs? Anybody here need money? How many of you need money? Some of you need money that didn't know you had a need a minute ago. Okay. Anybody here need tires for your car? God gave me a set of tires here a while back. Anybody here need a car? Anybody in here need some sleep? Somebody trying to get some right now. Okay. Yeah. You see? Listen. God knows what your needs are, but what does He say? He says, for He shall deliver the needy when he crieth. We need to learn to talk to God the way my kids talk to me and the way your kids talk to you. Dad, can I do so-and-so? Dad, can I have one of these? Can I please have one? Oh, Dad, please. Please, Dad. Go away. Leave me alone. You know? And God's not like that. But they keep on coming, and they keep on crying, they keep on asking, and after a while, okay, all right. Now, if it's something I know they don't need, I'll tell them, hey, you don't need it. I'll try to teach them that they're not needy after all. They're just whiny. But if they have a legitimate need, and they keep crying out for that need, somebody go meet that kid's need, you know, or I'll go meet it or something. Take care of that thing. You see, that's the way God is. He meets the needs of the needy when they cry. Now, if you don't cry out to God, you can't claim that verse. You see? Well, you know, God knows what my needs are. Sure, He knows what your needs are. He also said He'd like to hear from you once in a while. Whatever you need, you just let me know. You go to work for somebody and they say, okay, now I'm going to put you here at this desk in this office. If you need anything, call me. Right? And you don't ever call. And they come back a little while later and say, is the job done? Well, no, it's not done. I don't have a typewriter. Why didn't you tell me you don't have a typewriter? I said, if you need anything, let me know. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Can I have a typewriter? Sure, here's a typewriter. Now get this job done. You see? If God has a job for you to do and you have some needs, let Him know what those needs are. I mean, you're working for Him, right? That's the way it works. So, take a look then at John 15:7. Now, that's a very familiar verse to most of us. John 15:7. You're going to get there before I am this time. John 15:7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now that is a promise from God. Do you believe what God said? Do you believe it? Now, folks, I'm here to tell you, and I don't mean to be unkind to you, some of you do not believe that. You would fight to the death for the Word of God as the inspired, infallible Word of God. This is God's Word. And if anybody said this is not God's Word, you'd fight them. I mean, you'd argue with them. You'd debate them. But you don't believe it yourself. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that verse? If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Some of you here, by your lifestyle, in front of your children, in front of your neighbors, in front of your co-workers, in your life, you are saying, well, I'm trying to abide in the Lord, but He doesn't answer my prayers. He won't do it for me. I just don't deserve it, I guess. Or He doesn't want me to have it. Or some nonsense like that. Now, what does the book say? If ye abide in me, what does that mean? If you draw your life from God, if you live in fellowship with Him, you can ask what you will and it will be done. Now, most folks would have to admit that if they ask something of God and it isn't done, it's probably because they're not abiding in Christ. They're not in fellowship with the Lord. They're not depending on God. They're not believing God. They're not trusting Him. They have sin in their life that's unconfessed, which they have no intention of quitting. And they say, well, God knows I have these needs, and if He wants to meet my needs, well, He can do it. But I'm not going to change my lifestyle because I have to do these things. God knows I have to do these things. You know better than that. God knows I have a smoking problem, and I'm illustrating, folks, okay? God, listen. Here's what you're saying, okay? God knows I have a smoking problem, and He knows that I can't quit, and so, you know, God just overlooks this in my life. No, He does not. No, He doesn't. You wouldn't even say that if you didn't know you were supposed to quit. You see? If you didn't know for sure that God didn't want you to do that, you wouldn't even justify it. People justify things that they know are wrong, which they've tried to quit or tried to start doing or whatever it is in the flesh, and they failed, and they're not trusting the Spirit of God. They're trusting themselves up to a point. They see their weaknesses and then they stop trusting. That's tragic. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Do you believe that? Now, those of you who raised your hands a minute ago and you said, I have a need, let me ask you something. Have you asked God to meet that need? Have you? Well, is He meeting it? You say, well, I don't know. You see, when you start abiding in Christ, you're going to find out what your needs really are. Some people think they have needs when all they have is demands. They don't really need the thing. Now, that doesn't mean that we never need anything. Did my son Daniel need a bike? Yes, he did. Every 7-year-old boy needs a bike. Some point in time, you see. Does he really need it? Yeah, he really needed it. But did he have to have it? Yes, he had to have it. Why? How do you know that? Because that boy has committed his works to the Lord, and God gives him the desires of his heart. And if he had that desire in his heart, God gave him that desire. That's why I could have faith to say, now God, you've got to give this boy a bike. You see? Because when a person wants to please God with their life, and he does, the things they want are the things that God wants. That's one of the next verses, Psalm 37:4. Look at that verse. Psalm 37:4. You say, well, how do I even know what I need? Here it is, right here. Psalm 37:4. You ought to memorize this. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You see, when you commit your works to the Lord, he gives you your desires. And when you, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Look at verse 5, too. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Once you're committed to serving God with your life, and once you make up your mind that you're going to serve Him, and those of you here tonight, most if not all, everybody here is saved, you're a born-again atheist. You're a converted agnostic. You're a saved pagan. I mean, you've trusted Christ to save you, but you don't trust Him to meet your needs. Now, if you can't trust Him to meet your needs, how in the world can you trust Him with your eternal soul? Think of it. If you can trust Him with your eternal soul, which is the most important thing, why can't you trust Him for the practical daily needs of life? That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Now, when you see these verses, do they build your faith? How many of you are able to believe God more after seeing these verses than you were before you saw these verses? Okay, you know what you need to do? You need to look at these verses for yourself. That's what you need to do. Now, I'm serious, folks. Now, I can read them to you and your faith can grow. You can go read them yourself and your faith will grow. I mean, do you have one of these? If you don't, I'll tell you where you can get you one. You know, and you get you one of these books right here and you open this up and you read these verses and you get your faith through. Listen, you can have your faith growing on Thursday as much as you can on Wednesday. I mean, you can be built up in the faith as much on Monday as you can on Sunday if you got you one of these right here. You know what I do when I stand up here in this pulpit and holler? I just tell you what's in this book right here. Now, you don't need me to tell you that all the time. You can go and find it out for yourself. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if you've got the Word of God in your possession, which if you have a Bible, you do, you read that, let your faith grow, and claim those promises and say, God, you said that, and I believe that, and so I'm going to do what you said. I'm going to claim it. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to see it answered. And you know, there's nothing in the world that'll keep you praying like getting your prayers answered on a regular basis. And you know that's true. Matthew 7:7 is the last verse I want to give you this evening. Then we're going to have a time of prayer. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Is that a prayer promise or what? That's what it is. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. While I was telling you a minute ago that all you have to do is open up your Bible and read, some of you were thinking, yeah, but I don't know which verses to read. Well, this verse right here takes care of that. When you open up this book, you say, God, which verses should I read? And if you will knock and ask and seek, God will show you. When's the last time that you opened up the Word of God and had the Holy Spirit of God speak to you personally? Friend, if that didn't happen to you today, it's no wonder you're not praying. I mean, if that didn't happen today, it is no wonder that you're not praying. I mean, if you knew that you had God's book right here and that God would speak to you in this book, wouldn't you be interested to hear what He has to say? Wouldn't you like to know what God has to say to you about those decisions you're trying to make? That need that you raised your hand to indicate you had a moment ago. Wouldn't you like to know what God has to say about that thing? Wouldn't you like to hear from God about those physical needs, about those spiritual needs, about those family matters. Wouldn't you really like to get God involved in those things? God will speak to you about those, and He'll speak through this book right here if you'll open it. He'll deliver the needy when he crieth. Now, when does God speak to you? Folks, it's not the way that the movies make out like it is. I mean, there's not going to be any sunbeam coming through your window with your name written on it, and the wind come in, blow your Bible open, and the thing jump up and hit you in the face. It's just not going to work that way. God requires certain things of man. One of them is pick it up. The second one is open it up. The third thing is look at it and read the words. Now, that's pretty simple. Now, we can meet that criterion, I think. And once we do that, then God starts doing the rest. He wants us to go that far. Now, that's pretty easy, isn't it? You see, that's not works, is it? That's just, you know, making yourself available for grace. Atheism, that's what prayerlessness is. When we don't pray, it's because we don't believe. And if we really believed God, I believe we'd pray. And I think we ought to.